Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Spoiler Cast for Series 7 of Doctor Who. I'm your host today, and joined today we have Bovimon.
Hello.
So yeah, Doctor Who Series 7. We are two episodes into this so far. Bovimon, what have you been thinking of it?
I'm liking it. So far, Series 6 held my attention a little bit better.
Yeah, like, it was... With, like, the ending of Series 6, it was just like, boom, and then like, this one, it's just... It's kind of a step down.
I will say, it came out of the gates with a bang. Like, it didn't, you know, get to a slow start. It just sort of went. And I thought that was good and bad. Like, with Asylum of the Daleks, you know, you just sort of get into the story, but at the same time, it loses a bit of the feel of the show, of having a good introduction to it, and at some points it almost gets confusing.
Yeah, and I remember, like, the... Episode 2, like, Dinosaurs on the Spaceship, it was a lot more jokey, I feel, than Episode 1 was.
Oh, absolutely. Episode 1 was far more serious.
Yeah, it was the dark and gritty interpretation of Doctor Who. But yeah, it was a good start, I think. Good enough, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's solid. I still think, once again, Season 6 probably was a bit stronger than Season 7's going to be, but we'll see. Well, I'll, of course, give it the chance. It's Doctor Who. I'm going to watch all of it, so...
Yeah, so just one thing that I want to say. The intro sequence seems to have changed a bit.
Yes, this does bug me a little bit. It looks kind of bad, honestly.
Yeah, like, so... For Series 5 and 6, I believe, they... So, like, when the Doctor Who logo came up, it said Doctor, and then it showed, like, DW, then Who, and then it... Then, the DW spun out into the TARDIS and, like, dissolved the rest of the title. And now it just says Doctor Who, and then that dissolves away, then the DW turns into the TARDIS. And then they go into the anus of hell.
And the one thing that also bugs me about that is, the font, instead of being the Doctor Who, the classic Doctor Who font, is themed for the episode, which seems a little bit Magic School Bus.
Wait, seriously? It was themed for the episode? I didn't...
Yeah,
I remember in episode 2, I thought it looked like, wait, why is the title card carved out of Minecraft grass?
Basically, yeah. The first one, it's Dalek metal, so Asylum of the Daleks, makes sense. And yep. The second one, it's, you know, prehistoric looking.
Okay, yeah, I thought it looked weird. Yeah, like, another thing that's kind of weird is, like, so the title of the episode, like, is usually... The title of the episode was usually, like, big in big white block letters so that you can actually see it. Now it's in, like, really thin black letters, so it takes a second for it to actually fade in completely for me to actually get a good look at the episode.
And the actor names have similarly been thinned down, slimmed up a bit.
Yeah, and they just, like, dissolve into each other.
Also, notably, the color scheme of the Time Vortex has gone through another change. This one, much for the worse. Yeah. It's very dark and honestly hard to see.
Yeah, like, the main thing of when it's just, like, going through the, like, intercards is just, like, all dark, really dark blue and, like, shooting out, what, like, purple lightning or something?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Anus of Hell.
But it's changed a bit from dark blue. Now it looks like there's been, like, a green filter tossed over it.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
The coloration has changed very slightly, and the other thing is the TARDIS didn't formerly glow yellow from the windows.
Yeah, okay.
And now just that. The opening is the one thing I'm going to really nitpick at here and say that I don't honestly like it. It has gradually gotten... I've gradually grown to like the opening less and less. They've changed it from the 2005 reboot.
Yeah, like, it has changed every single season, hasn't it?
Not every single season, but it changes enough. And, you know, up until season 5, you know, it was fine changes. But then season 5, they completely rebooted it, and I didn't like it. Because, one, they changed the look of the Time Vortex, which is changing the story of the show when they totally didn't need to.
Yeah, and they changed, like, the entire title card.
Yeah.
Before it was like the suppository that said Doctor Who on it. Now it's this thing.
And I didn't even mind the font so much. It was the change at the time vortex that bugged me.
Okay. Yes, that's enough nitpicking. On to the actual episode. So we're going to start with episode 1, Asylum of the Daleks. So for those of you who listen to myself and the Forsaken Ones, Game of Thrones spoiler casts, it's going to be a similar thing. We have the wiki page up in front of us. I'm going to go through a couple paragraphs at a time, give a plot synopsis through there, and then just analyze what we had in front of us. So, let's start. So, the Doctor is lured to the ruins of Skaro, original homeworld of the Daleks, by a humanoid Dalek puppet, Darla, who teleports him to the Parliament of the Daleks. There, he is reunited with Amy and Rory, who have been similarly kidnapped from present-day Earth, just after Rory has delivered Amy their divorce papers. The Dalek Prime Minister explains that the Daleks have a planet known as the Asylum, where they keep battle-scarred Daleks that have gone insane. The Daleks are unwilling to kill these insane Daleks, as destroying such pure hatred would contravene their sense of beauty, much to the Doctor's revulsion. The Parliament has received a transmission of the Habanera Aria from the heart of the Asylum. The Doctor makes contact with the source of the transmission, a woman named Oswin Oswald, who states that she is a junior entertainment manager for the Starliner Alaska, which crashed into the Asylum. Oswin claims to have been fending off Dalek attacks for a year, occupying herself by making souffles, which intrigues the Doctor as he wonders where she got the milk. The crash ruptured the planet's force field, thus risking the escape of the planet's inmates. To prevent this, the Parliament now wishes to destroy the planet remotely, but the force field isn't ruptured sufficiently to allow that. The force field can only be deactivated from the planet itself, but too afraid to face such a mission themselves, the Daleks of the Parliament task the Doctor, Amy, and Rory with doing so.
Alright,
Yes, just right off the bat, the planet thing starts out, they're in like the giant Dalek head thing, and then Darla is there, and the Doctor shows up and is like, You contacted me. Not many people know how to do that. But isn't everyone in the universe, aside from like three people, supposed to know he's dead?
Yeah, it surprised me that the Daleks know about him still being alive, despite the fact he's supposed to be dead.
Yeah, like everyone was saying, it's a fixed point in time. You're gonna fucking die. And to everyone else's knowledge, aside from River, Amy, Rory, and the Head, well, and the guys from the Selecta, but that doesn't matter. Everyone else thinks he's dead. Like, do the Daleks just have, like, Dr. Dar?
Yes, they do. Although, they were sophisticated enough to fight against the Time Lords in the Time War, so I'm going to say that if any species in the universe is going to figure it out, it's going to be the Daleks.
Okay.
I'm going to say right off the bat, I don't like the whole Dalek puppet thing.
I didn't mind. I thought it was actually kind of cool.
Well, it's not so much that I dislike the idea of the Dalek puppets themselves. I thought it was a little bit cheesy, but I was able to handle it. And they even bring back the nanogenes, which were in season 1, so it explains how they can grow the things from their head. The nanogenes can restructure people into whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little gas mask child.
Yeah. Are you my mummy?
The part I didn't like, I'll get into later when we actually start talking about this part of the show. But I guess we'll be on talking more about this whole plan thing. I kind of don't like that the Daleks refer to him as the Predator.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that they're afraid of something.
Well,
like, aren't they supposed to like have no emotions whatsoever?
They're supposed to be very limited in their emotions, but they do always fear the Doctor. That has been a constant thing.
Yeah,
but they have a name for him. It's the Oncoming Storm. They just suddenly gave him this one in this episode, the Predator. Just suddenly, out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throw it at you all the time.
Yeah, I thought it's been weird, like, having the... He's called the Doctor, but we're going to give him, like, 10 other names from, like, 19 other different fucking races. It's weird.
But no, it makes sense for the Daleks to refer to him as the Oncoming Storm, and I'm happy with that, but suddenly they add Predator, too.
Yeah, and, like, did he ever hunt them?
No, he never hunted them. He only destroyed them when he had to.
Yeah, so the name doesn't make any sense.
Although he is pretty vicious about destroying them. He's the one, they're the one thing that he's like, I must kill.
Mm. Yeah, but like, even that is, like, with predators, they don't, like, have some people that they just, they don't have some things that are just like, alright, you're gonna fucking die because you need to die. They're just like, I'm hungry, rawr. They don't, they hunt. They don't exactly just wait. They don't respond.
Yeah.
They just react. They don't react. They just antagonize. They like, the fucking Daleks are more of a predator than the Doctor is.
Anyways, yeah, honestly, the plot for the Asylum is a little bit corny, but I was fine with it. I'm like, okay, I can deal with this. And I must point out, early on in the episode, there was this line that was so telegraphed, and I'm just like, I'm sitting there being like, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Because when Rory says, how much trouble are we in? And you see here the Doctor say, how much trouble are you in? Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, 11. Yes.
Okay, well, speaking of Rory, that's another thing. What do you think of the Pawns getting divorced?
Well, I knew it wouldn't last long.
No, of course not, but just...
Honestly, it lasted so long, there was no point to have it. Other than to reveal the point that Amy can't have any more children.
We're going to do that later in the episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I wanted to bring that up when we get to it, but fuck it.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, yeah, but...
First spoiler cast, we'll chalk that one up to naivety. But yeah, honestly, it was just to expose that one plot point, which could have just been done with a bit of exposition.
Yeah.
So it was the most pointless little side plot ever.
But like it seemed to go, like, I don't pride myself on being able to, like, analyze a character in any real depth. But Amy doesn't seem like the kind of person who, like, I can't get this guy children. Let him go get someone else who can. That doesn't seem like Amy.
No, and I think she does honestly, like, as a character, like, if that was her reason, she's still ignoring the, well, maybe 2,000 years of waiting for you overruled my 20 something years of waiting for children. You ever think of that?
Yeah, like, she is gung-ho to jump into a planet full of insane, psychotic, killer robot squid things. But it's like, oh no, I can't give my husband children? I must run away!
Yeah, it was a really dumb plot point. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, please let this resolve itself quickly. And at least it did that.
Yeah. So, moving on. The three are given bracelets to protect themselves from the planet's nanogene cloud, which could convert them into Dalek puppets to serve the facility's security systems before being dropped through the force field breach via a gravity tunnel onto the surface of the planet. The Doctor and Amy land close to each other and are discovered by Harvey, another survivor of the Alaska. Rory, however, is dropped to the bottom of a long shaft into the asylum. There, he accidentally wakens some of its inhabitants, but is saved and guided to a safe room by Oswin, who has access to computers. Meanwhile, Harvey guides the Doctor and Amy to his escape pod, where Harvey attacks them after being revealed as a Dalek puppet, converted by the nanogene cloud. A similar fate has befallen the corpses of other Alaska survivors who reanimate and attack the Doctor and Amy, stealing her nanofield bracelet just before the pair are saved by Oswin and guided to Rory through a hatch in the bottom of the pod. Now unprotected from the nanogenes, Amy begins to be converted into a Dalek puppet, experiencing memory loss and hallucinations. The Doctor guesses that the Daleks will destroy the planet as soon as he deactivates the force field, before he and his companions can escape. However, he realizes that Rory's hideout is a telepad, via which they can teleport to the Dalek Parliament ship. Oswin agrees to deactivate the force field in return for the Doctor coming to save her. While the Doctor is gone, Rory tries to give Amy his bracelets. The Doctor has stated that love slows the Dalek puppet conversion, so Rory argues that he would be converted more slowly because he's always loved Amy more than she loves him, referring to his 2,000-year vigil in The Pandora Opens. Amy angrily replies that she loves him equally, but she gave him up since she is infertile as a result of the events of A Good Man Goes to War, and thus unable to bear the children she knows that he has always desired. They realize the Doctor has secretly slipped his bracelet onto her without telling them, to possibly get them to discuss their feelings.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, there was a point at the beginning I forgot to go back to. The Dalek Parliament.
Yes.
Daleks don't have a democracy. There was already an emperor of the Daleks, and you can tell that they have a militaristic hierarchy. They are an imperial state.
Okay.
Just thought I would point that out there. Militaristic imperial government, by the way.
Okay, and I'd like to say is, so, when it was revealed that the Doctor had given Amy his bracelet somehow without her knowing it, they realized, like, oh, wait, he can't get turned by the Daleks. So why did the Daleks give him a bracelet to begin with?
And why can't he be turned by the Daleks?
Isn't it, like, Time Lord shit?
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff? Well, he seemed to avoid the gas mask kids, and that was the same technology.
Well, I guess because, like, well, the gas mask kids weren't trying to turn him into a Dalek.
They were trying to turn him into a gas mask kid. He didn't want to be that, either.
Well, it wasn't trying to turn him into a Dalek. Maybe like, the Nano Gene, but trying to turn him into a Dalek is different from trying to turn him into a gas mask kid. Yeah, but whatever. Okay. So yeah, this is when she tearfully reveals that, oh my god, I can't give you kids.
Once again, the plot exposition that was the only point to their divorce.
Yep. And you think that'd be something you bring up? It's like, oh hey, by the way, when those evil people kidnapped me and took our baby, they kind of left me infertile.
And the other thing is, they had years after that, like, and they always seemed fine.
Yeah, it isn't like, and like, how does she know that she can't give them kids? Like, did she go get tested at some point?
I'm guessing.
Like, we never see that. Like, you'd think that, like, whatever. It's just, oh, stupid.
Yeah, I feel like Amy and Rory's divorce was similar to the Doctor's death in season 6. It's an unexpected thing to suddenly draw the audience in with the promise of it being resolved later, only
this wasn't
a much smaller plot point and resolved much more quickly and honestly much less interesting.
Yeah, like the Doctor's death, that is fuck.
That's huge, and it's like, how are they gonna do it?
Like, the entire season revolved around it.
Yeah.
This one, it's like 5 episodes in the first, it's like 5 minutes in the first episode.
Yeah.
But whatever. So moving on. The Doctor makes his way to Oswin, venturing through the intensive care section, which continue Daleks who survived. I have encounters with them. I guess they mean contained. They begin to reactivate, but he is saved from them by Oswin, who deletes the Doctor from the Daleks' collective telepathically shared knowledge, leaving them with no memory of him. The Doctor enters Oswin's chamber, only to discover to his horror, that she has been fully converted into a Dalek. Oswin had been captured by the Daleks after reaching the asylum, though, through, and to preserve her genius-level intellect for Dalek use, was turned into a Dalek cyborg rather than a standard puppet. Unable to cope with her conversion, her mind retreated into a fantasy of survival as a human, which was picked up as the Carmen transmission. Oswin is nearly overcome by her Dalek personality at this revelation, though she still possesses human emotions and is unable to kill the Doctor. Oswin fulfills her promise of deactivating the force field on the condition that the Doctor will remember her as the human she once was. The Doctor returns to Amy and Rory, and they teleport back to the TARDIS before the planet is destroyed. The Daleks fail to recognize the Doctor due to his removal from their hive intelligence. He jubilantly leaves the ship and drops the reunited Amy and Rory back home. He then departs alone, delighting in the Dalek Parliament's closing question to him, Doctor Who.
You get it?
It's the title of the show, and it's the first question.
Yeah. You know, at the end of season 6, the title drop was clever.
It was clever, a bit weird.
It was clever, a bit weird, yes. And it was honestly a good plot twist. Here, it got on my nerves a little.
Yeah, well, it's the fact that they repeat it like 17 times.
And you've just got the Doctor running around saying, Doctor Who, like, just fuck you, fourth wall, I'm being meta.
Yeah, it's all kinds of weird.
And I must say, the whole hive mind thing has never been mentioned before.
Yeah, it never has, but it's...
Ever.
It's an interesting premise. It's like, now, like, the Doctor, he's dealt with these guys for fucking centuries. They hate each other, but now they just have, like, no fucking memory of each other. Well, he does, but they don't, and...
That plot point is, yes, interesting, but the idea that gets them to that is stupid.
Hmm. Yeah, but it's... I hope this means that we won't just be getting, like, episode after episode after episode of just, hey, guess what? It's Daleks. Because,
yeah.
To be honest, like, just the amount of times the Dalek and Cybermen have shown up.
I don't feel like they've been much overused. The Daleks maybe a little bit. They tend to be used, at least early on, they were used a lot as season enders.
Hmm. Yeah, but it's just, we get them so many times, and, like, every time their plan is the exact same. But they always end up beating them in a different way. It's like, they ever think, oh, hey, maybe we could do that thing we did, like, 5 episodes ago. You know? Maybe. Like, oh, God, it's just so... It just really bugs me. But yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, one thing that I don't get. So, Osman asked the Doctor to remember her as the human she once was. The Doctor never knew her as the human she once was. He doesn't even know what she looks like. It's like, oh, I remember that voice that was coming over those loudspeakers.
Yeah, I'm guessing. He'll try his best. Or he lied. He maybe lied very well.
Yeah. And apparently, like, apparently the actress who played Oswin is actually going to be the Doctor's next companion.
That kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
Because this show is notorious for recycling actors and actresses. Like how Freema Agyeman, the episode before she was introduced as a companion, two episodes before she was introduced as a companion, she played a small 2-bit role.
Yeah, and like half the cast of Torchwood appeared in the Doctor Who universe as different characters.
Yes, and then, again, as their Torchwood characters.
Yeah.
And they make an excuse for Gwen.
I was like, oh, it's her ancestor, but then what about Tosh?
And how is it her ancestor? She died a virgin.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe the ghost people knocked her up when she gave birth, like a ghost, maybe she gave birth to a gas baby. I don't fucking know. I don't know how biology works in this universe.
She died as a virgin, taking everything living around her with her.
Yeah, over the rift. Which was that same rift from Torchwood?
Yes. That was when it was sealed.
Oh, giddy. So, you know, that's convenient. But yeah, so that's the first episode. It's Asylum of the Daleks. Overall, it was a episode.
Yeah, and I was excited because, you know, old Daleks were coming back, but honestly, the Daleks weren't even used well in this episode.
Yeah. But now let's get on to the episode that I was excited about. Dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Best episode title ever. It just looks at snakes on a plane and says, fuck you, we can do better.
Yeah, like, that was just... That was pretty much the line that sold me on season 7. Not even, like, as soon as I saw that trailer, I was like, okay, I need to finish up season 6. I need to get fucking prepared. Yeah, so, let's start, shall we? So, when in 1334 BC, Egypt, with Queen Nefertiti, the Doctor receives a call from the Indian Space Agency in 2367 AD... about a spaceship which will crash into Earth in 6 hours, if it is not stopped. If it is not stopped, they will fire missiles to destroy it before it crashes into Earth. Excuse me. Taking Nefertiti with him, he picks up Edwardian explorer John Riddle from the African plains in 1902 AD, and his companions Amy and Rory 10 months after he last saw them in Asylum of the Daleks, accidentally taking Rory's father Brian on the TARDIS as well. They land on the station and come face-to-face with Ankylosaurus dinosaurs. The Doctor uses the ship's computer to locate the engines and accidentally transport him, Rory, and Brian to the engine room, which appears to be a beach. See, right off the bat.
Bringing Rory's father along was probably the best idea ever.
Yeah, and like the Doctor's like response to it, he just like as soon as he shows up to start treating him so antagonistically, like, "Who sent you? What do you want? What are you here for?" And it's like, "Doctor, that's my dad." "Oh, Brian, welcome on board."
Blaming Rory.
Yeah, it's just. And that's like a running joke in this episode. He keeps blaming Rory. It's like, you materialized around us. What the fuck was that supposed to do?
Shove him out of the way, of course.
Oh, yeah, but. So that. It's weird seeing the Doctor rolling with a team.
Yeah, he even said, "I've got a gang. It's new. I don't usually travel with a gang," although he has before. There was a whole story arc. 3-episode story arc about him traveling with a gang.
Yeah, like the Devil's Run shit of him getting the Avengers.
No, I meant more. What are the name of these episodes? End of season 4 with Donna, Rose, Martha, Jack.
Right. Yes, that happened.
Jackie.
That happened. Yeah, but
Sarah Jane, Torchwood.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, just everyone who is relevant in the Doctor Who universe, and get the fuck in here. But then I like the. But, yeah, I remember that, but I also
actually,
like.
Sorry, two Doctors as well.
Yeah. But I really liked the Devil's Run thing where he just, like, started calling in all these favors. Essentially pulling a Nick Fury.
What I didn't like about that is, like, oh, he's gathering his friends, he's gathering his allies, and no one from before season 5 was brought up at all.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people in there who I'd never heard of.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Like, they're vague references. Vague references.
But still, that's cool. Like,
where's Jack?
Yeah, where?
Go get Jack!
Maybe he was afraid that maybe the Doctor was afraid Jack would just have sex with everybody.
Oh, well, you'll probably have sex with the leader of the religious order, and she'll just give up for Jack sex.
Oh, God.
I would probably give up for Jack sex.
Yeah. So, yeah, they get teleported to the fucking beach room, and it's full of pterodactyls. Yeah, like, Rory's dad is weird. They just get to the beach, like, alright, start digging. It's like, the dad just, like, whips out a shovel. It's like, a man always carries a trowel with him. And it was, yeah, that was weird.
Weird, but he's always entertaining.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that it wasn't entertaining, I'm just saying it was the tonal shift from Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah.
It was a bit jarring. Yeah, so, moving on. The Doctor and his companions discover that the ship is a Silurian ark designed to carry the reptilian humanoids to a new planet, along with the flora and fauna from their time period. No, they did not. That was Amy who discovered that, not the Doctor. After escaping from a group of pterodactyls, the Doctor, Rory, and Brian are escorted by two robots to a human called Solomon, who is injured in a raptor attack. Believing the Doctor to be of the medical type, Solomon reveals that he is an exotic black market trader who believes everything and everyone has a price, though a surprise is that the Doctor is not listed in the system. Solomon had boarded the spaceship and killed his inhabitants in order to sell the dinosaurs on board, and now threatens the Doctor into repairing his legs and into giving him Queen Nefertiti after seeing her value.
Now, I must say, one part I found very interesting, and honestly, I caught myself here, when Solomon does sort of give the ultimatum to the Doctor, give me Nefertiti, and I'm like, please, he's the Doctor, you're just some black market trading scum. You see what he's dealt with? But I'm like, wait a minute. In this situation, there's literally nothing he can do. I guess he is, you know, just a dude, and until he's the kind of guy who has to kind of give up for now and let his plan come together later.
Yeah, but, like, it's... During all of this, he never once sonically screwed anything. Like, that's always the strategy. Like, someone gives you an ultimatum, go no, then sonically screw something and run away.
Yeah, but it was kind of good to see him at least temporarily not have the upper hand. I mean, that's kind of the way it was earlier on, too. Like, he wouldn't have the upper hand, but then, you know, time would move on, the situation would change, and he would figure things out, and then he would gain the upper hand. He wouldn't always have it.
Yeah, I'm not saying he should have had the upper hand in this. I'm saying that he should have been able to just and then run away. That's not the upper hand. That's getting the fuck out of there.
True, and I do feel that those robots probably would have been susceptible to Sonic Screwdriver.
Oh yeah, like as soon, like this. Any other time, the second Brian got shot, Doctor would have gone and then turned off the guns.
Yeah, those robots though were entertaining.
Yeah, they were. But yes, one thing that was weirding me out with this was, how did Amy know how to work a Silurian computer?
Yeah, there was just, what? Oh, I watched the Doctor, so blah, 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 but...
Yeah, it's like, one thing you learned from the Doctor, push buttons, but then she pushed the exact right buttons, knew to put the thing in the thing, knew what the thing was. That was able to yell it into submission. Which... Okay, like, if you actually...
Woman's intuition?
What?
Woman's intuition?
What? Oh, speaking of women, actually, one thing that was weird, like, the whole back and forth between Riddle and Nefertiti.
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't even know what that is.
We hate each other, now we're flirting. Now we kind of hate each other, but we're kind of flirting.
Yeah, and... All the shit that was happening with him and all the shit that was happening, like, him being sexist, never, he's like, I'll kill you, and then Amy's like, fuck you, bro, grabs a gun. It was really weird. Just 1902 gender politics with Queen of the Nile and a pond. It was real weird. But yeah, so just, what do you think of Solomon, who, I should remind you, is played by the same guy who played Mr. Filch.
He seems like, you know...
He seems unworthy.
Hey, this is one of those scumbags who thinks he's, you know, much better than he is and has no idea what he's dealing with, and...
He seems unworthy of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And I really don't understand why Nefertiti at any point was able to, like, get subdued by him. When I have nobody's thing, and then just, like, puts his crutch up to her throat, she could have easily just kicked him in the dick.
When in doubt, kick him in the dick.
Like, it's not like those things were bladed. She could have easily just, like, it's like, you're coming with me. Fuck you, push it out of the way and kick him. Then he falls over, boom, everything's done. They're like, oh, we'll get you for that.
I gotta say, those robots had a very, hitchhiker feel to them.
Yeah, they did, actually, now that you mention it. Like, the voices, especially.
The voices, sort of their comedic style, was very Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, it was. And actually, something I forgot to mention. The Indian Space Agency.
Yeah.
You'd think that, like, in 2367, the world would have a multinational space shit.
Please, 2367, it'll be the Chinese Space Agency.
No, like, how many times has the Earth been attacked by aliens? How many?
Dozens.
So.
Hundreds, actually.
So, at that point, would every government of the world just let one country police the skies?
Perhaps by this point, India has grown and has a lot more pull and is perhaps quite dominating the world, which is why I think it'd be more realistic if it was Chinese. I mean, if anyone's going to take over the world in the next 300 years...
Oh yeah, probably be China.
It'll probably be China.
Yeah, they already make everything. It's just a matter of time. It's like, hey, China, we need more... It's like, hey, China, can you send some more shit? No, we bow to you, masters. So, moving on. Missiles are fired from Earth to stop the ship from crashing. The Doctor disables Solomon robots and rescues Nefertiti before he tricks the missiles into targeting Solomon's ship and detaching it from the Silurian Ark, whereupon the missiles destroy his ship, taking Solomon with it. Meanwhile, Rory and Brian pilot the Ark away from Earth, as a ship can only be piloted by two people of the same gene pool. The Doctor then takes the pawns back home after letting Brian view the Earth from orbit. The episode ends showing that Brian Williams has now taken to traveling across the planet and that the dinosaurs now reside on the planet Siluria. So just... that seems a bit cold-blooded for the Doctor.
He's kind of gotten that way, and I kind of dislike it.
Yeah, like, he's... when someone's fucked him. Like, when there's somebody who he just despises. He's never been merciful to them. Well, he's been merciful, but not, like... he offers it, they'll say no, and they'll be like, alright, fuck you, then kill everybody. This one, I don't think he even offered him the chance to be merciful. He was just... blap.
Technically, he did. He said early on, he's like, there's missiles headed toward this ship, so take your ship and fly off.
Okay, but then he didn't let him.
That was only after... okay, so the Doctor met him, the Doctor offered fly off, then the guy came after the Doctor, took Nefertiti, then the Doctor trapped him and killed him. So, the guy wasted his chance by taking Nefertiti.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, one thing that I really did like was the guys, they're in like the cockpit getting everything all set up, and then they're being attacked by velociraptors, and Riddle's out there like crying. She was like, this is a 2-man job, and then Amy grabs the car and is like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm worth at least 2 men, you can come too if you want. And you just saw them like taking out a pack of velociraptors with fucking space guns.
Really, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I expected a clever girl line and then there somewhere.
Yeah.
You're like,
that ran through my head too.
Yeah, I expected, like, she's one of the velociraptors. Like, they just hear him call out, and then a bunch more come up. I expected him to say clever girl. I was like waiting for it. I was like, come on, say it. Oh. But yeah, and so all that happened, and just Brian and Rory flying that spaceship. Just Brian was so fucking excited about it. I was like, Rory, I'm flying a spaceship! He was just fucking stoked. Oh man, I love that. But I gotta say, my favorite shot of that entire episode. Brian sitting on the edge of the door of the TARDIS like some 1940s construction worker with his flask of tea in the lunchbox.
Yeah.
Just sitting there staring at the Earth eating a sandwich. That was just... molto bene. It's fucking awesome. Like that's gotta be my... that has to be one of my favorite... that has to be one, like... within the top 10 scenes in every Doctor Who episode I've ever seen. Fucking love it. It was just... the way he was sitting, it was seriously... Like, if they had, like, green screened that out and just put, like, an I-beam below him with the city of New York in the background...
it would have fit.
Completely. But the fact that it was just him sitting in that style... in fucking space... looking down on the Earth from above, it was just so good. But it would... but I half expected him to, like, just start, like, throwing the packaging from a sandwich out, like, outside, like, the fucking, like, artificial atmosphere of the TARDIS, so it just, like, goes off into space, like, he seems the kind of guy who'd do that, you know, to, like, take the saran wrap off a sandwich, throw it out there, and then watch it, like, burn up in the atmosphere.
Well, if it hit the atmosphere...
yeah.
Chances are it would just become another bit of space junk.
Yeah, but like, it would carry the velocity, wouldn't it? Like, if you threw it hard enough.
I guess. Or it would get stuck to another piece of space junk.
Yeah, or it would just get, like, torn to shreds by microscopic space junk. Oh, man,
there's lots of space junk.
Yeah, but just that shot. That shot was just... it's just cemented in my mind now. And it's also kind of weird now how, like, end of every episode, the Doctor just, it's like, hey, like, every episode goes like, hey, I have an adventure, let me get the pawns, and then, oh, wait, something wacky happened, and then drop them off back home. It's just, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't like on-again, off-again companions.
Yeah, like, I know they're trying to, like, phase him out of the show. Because this is their final season.
Yeah, I like the line from Amy. I feel like you're trying to wean us off you or something. Oh, no, no. And his eyes clearly say yes.
So, yeah, that was the first two episodes of Doctor Who Series 7. Yeah, it's alright.
It's alright. It's not great, but it's alright. Oh, the series might, you know, even pick up a bit. I'm not sure how well the season will turn out, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not hopeful for the next episode.
No.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird. Like, just the one line that turned me off of it all. Everyone who is an American, put down your guns. Like, Americans want to kill people just as much as everyone else. Probably more so. But yeah, so be sure to join us next week when we'll talk about Episode 3, A Town Called Mercy, which has robot gunslingers. Giddy. But yeah, so, except you're joining us next week on The Dead Man.
I'm Bogan.
See you guys next time.